opening your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 8. Please forgive me for struggling vocally this morning. I didn't do too much yelling at the radio yesterday, but some. I don't know why I'm kind of struggling vocally this morning, but if you have your Bibles, opening them to the book of Romans chapter 8, and I will only be able to move us through the first 2 points of the message this morning as we think about life in the Spirit of God. When you come to the Bible and the relationship that Jesus has promised to us through God, if we would but believe on Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And once a person has entered into that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, Jesus promised that every believer would receive the Holy Spirit, that we would be given the Holy Spirit. You can see the verses listed there. Jesus promises as He gave them in the Gospel of John and further discloses the ministry of the Spirit. So every single born-again believer receives the Holy Spirit at conversion. We receive Him at conversion. We don't receive Him in installments. That's another sermon for another time. We receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. And simply put, when we think about life in the Spirit of God, simply put, Jesus is with us and lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. And Paul, as he continues in the book of Romans, and he has, in chapter 6 through 8, really chapters, the latter part of chapter 5 into chapter 6 through 8, he's laying out the doctrine of sanctification. That is, not our position before God, but our perseverance in Christ. In other words, God saved me to live for Him. And the only way that I can do that is in the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that again. So Paul, as he unfolds this doctrine of sanctification, daily becoming more like Jesus in my life, he unfolds for us in chapter 8 what I have entitled Life in the Spirit of God. And so as we go through this chapter, we're going to see 5 key ministries of the Holy Spirit. What is it that the Holy Spirit does in my life? If you go to a certain bank, if you bank at a certain bank, you want to know how they're going to help you. What benefits come with my checking account? What kind of interest are you going to give me on my money? What kind of services are you going to give to me? So not that we serve God out of the benefits that we receive, but if we receive the Holy Spirit, what exactly is it that He does in our life? What does He bring to us? Paul does not cover every ministry of the Holy Spirit, but he covers, I believe, 5 key of those ministries, and we're only going to look at 2 this morning. So as we think of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, first of all, the Holy Spirit delivers us from condemnation. The Holy Spirit delivers us from condemnation. Turn your attention to verse 1 and following in Romans 8. Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now look. For the law of the Spirit, and I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from what? The law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, as weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul has made the case from the beginning of his letter that every single person is deserving of the condemnation and wrath of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." But, we learn later in the letter that Paul gives us statements like this: "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we find these words: "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So though we are deserving of the wrath and condemnation of God in Jesus Christ, as Paul says it in verse 2, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the Holy Spirit delivers us from condemnation. And it's condemnation, as we've learned very quickly, condemnation as confirmed by the law. If I were to stand before God right now, and I were to say to God, if I could have a face-to-face conversation with Almighty God right now, and I were to say to God, "God, I want You to judge me according to Your law. Lord, I want You to hold out Your law, and I want You to look at my life, and I want You to judge me according to Your law." You know what God's law is going to say to me every time? Every time the law of God is going to say to me, "Guilty. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty." Praise be to God for the believer. We aren't judged according to the law. Praise be to God. In verse 4, He wrote, "So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to whom?" According to what? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. And so the law confirms our condemnation, and also that condemnation is a result of sin. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the garden in Genesis chapter 1. And as God is speaking with Adam there, and as God has given Adam the commandments, what does God say to Adam? "From all the trees of the garden you can eat freely. But Adam, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, that is the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. For in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." Fast forward, we know that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. We know that Adam and Eve sinned against God, and as their offspring, we're born sinners before God, and we know that sin brought death. Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 5, that through one man, death entered into the world, sin and death entered into the world, but through one man also, eternal life came and salvation came, that is, in Jesus Christ. And look at verse 2 and 3 again. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, as weak as it was," what happened? God did. "Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, He fully identified with us." This is what this table is about today. As Jesus has fully identified with us in the flesh, yet without sin, here in just a few minutes as born again believers, we're going to testify of our identification with Him. And we have identified with Him through His blood, through His shed blood on our behalf. We are identifying with Him because of His Spirit who lives within us, who's liberated us from sin and death and bondage, and granted to us by the power of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ eternal life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm telling you what, We're free, brothers and sisters. We are free. I have this couple of questions, and I have trouble here too. Do you still allow the devil to hang condemnation over your head? Did Paul not just say, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Why do we continue to allow the devil to hang condemnation over our head? Well, how does he do that, preacher? I think one way the devil hangs condemnation over our heads is this. You know what? God really doesn't love you. You know, if God loved you, this wouldn't be happening in your life. If God loved you, you wouldn't be sick. If God loved you, you wouldn't be walking through these difficult circumstances you are. If God loved you, serving Him wouldn't be so hard. Do you understand this morning? That's condemnation. That's condemnation from the devil. God does love you. God loves me. Try this on for size. There's never been a time in all of time that God has not loved you. God has always loved us. And God will continue to love us, no matter our circumstances. You know how else we subject ourselves to condemnation when there's no condemnation? I can't believe you did that. Anybody? I can't believe you did that. Aren't you a believer? Aren't you a Christian? Now don't misunderstand me. This pastor is not making light of sin, but listen how the devil hangs condemnation over our head. I can't believe you did that. Aren't you a believer? How could you expect God to forgive you? See, we live in a conditional world. And a lot of times we live in conditional relationships. Well, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. You'll get this if you do that. But once we become a believer, listen to me, once we receive Jesus as the Scripture teaches us to receive Jesus, forgiveness is no longer conditional. Yes, we have an obligation to confess our sin. But once we confess our sin, it is forgiven, brothers and sisters. It is forgiven. And God cleanses us. Last time I checked my Bible, John said this: if we confess our sin, He, speaking of God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to do what? Cleanse us from some of the unrighteousness? A part of the unrighteousness? Nope. And to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And secondly, and very quickly, the Holy Spirit empowers us for righteous living. The Holy Spirit empowers us for righteous living. Would you agree with these statements? The Lord would have us to honor Him and obey Him. In doing so, as we honor Him and obey Him, in doing so, we bring glory to His name. And Paul helps us understand here in these verses that I'm about to read is that righteous living is only possible by God's power through the Holy Spirit that works within us. Listen at Paul's words, how he helps us understand this, starting in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh, I believe he's talking about unregenerate people who had not been converted. I don't believe here Paul is talking about carnal Christians. I believe he's talking about those who have never received Jesus Christ. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on flesh is what? Hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Listen to this. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. That verse 11, you know what Paul's saying is, you can live out eternal life in your body. Though it's dead to sin, but when we have the Spirit of God living in us, then eternal life flows through us. The life of Christ flows through us like electricity does through a wire. The life of God flows through us through the power of His Holy Spirit. And it's the same power. The Spirit has the same power. I love the way Paul puts that in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead... That's the power that Jesus brings to our life. That's the power that the Spirit of God brings to our life, is resurrection power. So then, brethren, Paul concludes, verse 12. So then, brethren, we're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In a nutshell, and I've got to bring things to a close, Paul is letting us understand that we as believers through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for through His death, burial, and resurrection, that we have been liberated from the bondage of sin. And the way that we're able to please God and live righteously is in His sight is not through our own sanctified human willpower. It's not a desire to turn over a new leaf in our life and be better people. That will never get us anywhere. The way that we're able to please God, the way that we're able to serve God, the way that we're able to honor God, the way that we're able to walk in obedience to Him is relying on the work of the Spirit of God who has brought life to our bodies. Our minds, our hearts, our physical bodies have been transformed by the Spirit of God so that once we were walking in darkness, once all we could do is please the devil and the flesh, we were separated from God. Our minds were not set on God. We were hostile to God. We were enemies of God. Not caring about the things of God. Not desiring the things of God. No passion for anything that had anything to do with God. But once we receive the Holy Spirit, all of that changes. The bondage of sin is lifted. The bondage, the passions of self become defeated through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now because of the Spirit's power working in us, we can through His strength, please God, serve Him, and walk in the righteousness of God. And rewinding all the way back to the first chapter, the thesis of the whole book, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, then to the Greek. For in it, are you ready? In it, the righteousness of God has been revealed. And you know what? As a born-again believer of God, the Holy Spirit empowers us to righteous living. And our days as a believer, as we walk with God, the Spirit of God, through His power, continues to reveal the righteousness of God in our lives in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus could say to us in the Sermon on the Mount, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That's why He could say to us in the Sermon on the Mount, Let your light shine before men in such a way that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because the Spirit of God, who empowers us unto righteousness, is working out and revealing the righteousness of God in our lives.